It's 4:05. I'll go on and get started. So my name is Anissa. Okay. My name is Anissa. I am a compulsive eater. And some people have known me since I first got into the program in 1994. And it's been a long, winding road for me. I've had several relapses where I've gained my weight all back plus. I came back in 2009, January 4th, 2009, life in shambles in all areas of my life. But my absence date is August 6th, 2012. Giving away 100 pounds and very grateful. Very grateful. I'm just as grateful for the day I came back as the absence date, because I was such a chronic relapser in leaving the program. This is the longest I've ever stayed in the program, because I would slip, relapse, leave for about a couple of years, come back, get back on, leave, you know. So I'm here. God willing, I'm here to stay. But anyway, I was just sharing before a couple of people came in, I was asked to do a workshop, and I had a lot going on. I couldn't think in. And I went into meditation, and in the silence, and it just dropped in, you know, in my head from the higher power, do it on the principles. And I found, and I'll pass out the worksheets. This is going to be an interactive workshop. This is not going to be me. This is not going to be me lecturing you as a teacher. The only thing I'm going to do is opportunities for you to apply these principles in a specific situation that you're going through in your life. Okay, so this is not theory. This is going to be practice. And so I have the page numbers and everything so you can reference them when you get home. But we're gonna work in pairs. We're going to share. And I don't like theory. I like real practice. And so get my glasses. Thank you. So all the readings that I will share from you on practicing the principles in all our affairs is coming from the 12 and 12. And I'll be honest, I haven't really delved into the 12 and 12 in years, because all my questions are from like As Bill Sees It or Came to Believe or, you know, the big book, you know. But other than the first 30-day questions, we really don't have any questions that I'm aware of that takes you through the 12 and 12, you know, and step six through 12 and the first three. I mean, have anybody seen any questions that really go into the 12 and 12? No. And so I was like, this would be an interesting thing for us to kind of just revisit from that perspective. So the first section here, practicing the principles in all our affairs, I'm just going to read that. Okay. Now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit, love, and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring to our AA group? Can we have the same confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry the AA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living in trying to do something about all these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler yet sometimes more durable satisfaction when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The answer to these questions about living is yes. All of these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turned to good use by those who keep trying to practice AA's 12 steps. And if these are facts of life for many alcoholics who have recovered in AA, they can become the facts of life for many more. And that's in the 12 step 12. And so for that reading, I want you to look at what is an area of your life that can benefit from practicing the principles. Write about an area of your life that is challenging today. So just take a moment. You don't have to solve the problem. Just write out a situation. It doesn't have to be too long. Just so we have a situation. Okay. So the next principle is powerlessness. And in step one, how does powerlessness apply to this situation? But I'm going to read you the paragraph first. But upon entering AA, we soon take quite another view of this absolute humiliation. We perceive that only through utter defeat are we able to take our first steps towards liberation and strength. Our admission of personal powerlessness finally turned out to be firm bedrock upon which happy and purposeful lives may be built. We know that little good could come to any alcoholic who joins AA unless he has first accepted his devastating weakness and all its consequences. Until he so humbles himself, his sobriety, if any, will be precarious. Of real happiness, he will find none at all, proved beyond doubt by an immense experience. This is one of the facts of AA life. The principle, they use the word principle, that we shall find no endurance strength until we first admit complete defeat is the main taproot for which our whole society has sprung and flowered. So in this next section is powerlessness that just came from step one. How does powerlessness apply to the situation that you wrote about in the previous question? All right, the next one. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Page 32. Can you hear me okay now? Okay. To clergymen, doctors, friends, and family, the alcoholic who means well and tries hard is a heartbreaking riddle. To most AAs, he is not. There are too many of us who have been just like him and have found the riddle's answer. The answer has to do with the quality of faith rather than its quantity. This has been our blind spot. We supposed we had humility when really we hadn't. We supposed we had been serious about religious practices when upon honest appraisal, we found that we had only been superficial. Or going to the other extreme, we had wallowed in emotionalism and had mistaken it for true religious feeling. In both cases, we had been asking something for nothing. The fact was we really hadn't cleaned house so that the grace of God could enter us and expel the obsession. In no deep or meaningful sense had we ever taken stock of ourselves, made amends to those we had harmed, or freely given to any other human being without any demand for reward. We had not even prayed rightly. We had always said, "Grant me my wishes," instead of "Thy will be done." The love of God and man we understood not at all. Therefore, we remain self-deceived and so incapable of receiving enough grace to restore us to sanity. And so you're in the next section, you're going to write about your level of sanity when it comes to the situation. How does faith in a higher power play a role in being restored to sanity? What is the quality of your faith? So I'm going to give us a little bit more time on this because there's a couple of questions in there. All right. Now, we're going to go to surrender. Surrender. Our favorite thing to do. Then it is explained that the other steps. I'm on the right one. That the other steps of the AA program can be practiced with success only when step three is given a determined and persistent trial.
This statement may surprise newcomers who have experienced nothing but constant deflation and a growing conviction that human will is of no value whatever. They have become persuaded, and rightly so, that many problems besides alcohol will not yield to a headlong assault powered by the individual alone. But now it appears there are certain things which only the individual can do. All by himself, in the light of his own circumstances, he needs to develop the quality of willingness. When he acquires willingness, he is the only one who can make the decision to exert himself. Trying to do this is an act of his own will. All the 12 steps require sustained and personal exertion to conform to their principles, and so we trust God's will. It is when we try to make our will conform with God's that we begin to use it rightly. To all of us, this was a most wonderful revelation. Our whole trouble had been the misuse of willpower. We had tried to bombard our problems with it instead of attempting to bring it into agreement with God's intention for us. To make this increasingly possible is the purpose of AA's 12 steps, and step 3 opens the door. Once we have come into agreement with these ideas, it is really easy to begin the practice of step 3. In all times of emotional disturbance or indecision, we can pause, ask for quiet, in the stillness simply say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So our question on surrender, how does surrender apply to this situation? Are you holding on to your will? What's keeping you from letting go? Hey, our next principle, spot check inventory. Page 95. Learning daily to spot, admit, and correct these flaws is the essence of character building and good living. An honest regret for harms done, a genuine gratitude for blessings received, and a willingness to try for better things tomorrow will be the permanent assets we shall seek. Having so considered our day, not omitting to take due note of things well done, and having searched our hearts with neither fear nor favor, we can truly thank God for the blessings we have received and sleep in good conscience. So the spot check inventory, what is my part in this situation? How do I need to change in order for the situation to improve? What do I need to do differently? Meditation and prayer. Those of us who have come to make regular use of prayer would no more do without it then we would refuse air, food, or sunshine. And for the same reason, when we refuse air, light, or food, the body suffers. And when we turn away from meditation and prayer, we likewise deprive our minds, our emotions, and our intuitions of vitally needed support. As the body can fail its purpose for lack of nourishment, so can the soul. We all need the light of God's reality, the nourishment of His strength, and the atmosphere of His grace. To an amazing extent, the facts of AA life confirm this ageless truth. There is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can be much relief and benefit, but when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is unshakably foundation for life. Now and then we may be granted a glimpse of the ultimate reality, which is God's kingdom, and we will be comforted and assured that our own destiny in that realm will be secure for so long as we try, however falteringly, to find and do the will of our Creator. As we have seen, self-searching is means by which we bring new vision, action, and grace to bear upon the dark and negative side of our natures. It is a step in development that of that kind of humility that makes it possible for us to receive God's help. So what is the quality of your practice of prayer and meditation? Do you spend quiet time with your higher power? How can this help your situation? Okay. And our final question, after going through this exploration of the 12 and 12 with your situation, what insights and or aha moments did you experience? What will you do differently when you return home?
Thank you, guys. And like, I don't want to keep you guys too far over, but I have extra copies if you want to take some with you. And thank you for participating in this workshop. Thank you. And Laretha, you need to sign. Oh, I'm going to wash the return.